Welcome to Let Love, a podcast with the Sisters of Life. We invite you to join us for conversation, looking at life through the lens of love. You are loved, you are made in God's image, and your life matters. Let's talk about it.
Well, welcome back to the Let Love podcast. This is Sister Mary Grace.
This is Sister Veritas.
Sister Anna Maculay.
And Sister and Catherine Joy Marie.
Woohoo! Changing things up. Welcome to more of the crew.
Yay!
Yeah.
Welcome downstairs. We have an official name for the room now.
Right?
What? The upper room?
On the lower level.
That's right. Just to keep things edgy. But welcome, Sister Catherine Joy.
Yeah.
Thanks.
This is the final five.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we're just so excited to share you, for everyone to meet you and hear you. And we just love Sister Catherine Joy Marie so much. Uh-huh. So we're so happy.
It's so great to live with y'all.
Well, and the cool thing is about the four of us now here is that actually Sister Anne Immaculée and Sister Catherine Joy and myself, we went through and survived formation together, which is awesome. So we are loaded with stories that we will keep to a minimum this time. But talking about just communio and as we go through Lent together, and we were talking about recently, I don't know if you remember, but in postulancy, just the extremities of what you can experience within community life. You know, what is good for someone is like the worst thing for another. Mm-hmm. And I think something happened around our retreat in postulancy that, sisters, you'll have to help me out, that was just a perfect display of this.
Yeah, no, totally. We had a fun, we were laughing about this the other day. So the day before we started our 5-day silent retreat, we went to the bowling alley to go bowling, but for some reason we couldn't bowl.
I can't remember what it was. The bowling alley was closed that day, but
so then we decided to go laser tagging.
So much better than bowling anyway.
Yeah, zipped our black sweaters up over our mock neck shirts.
Cool.
Yeah.
Because it's black light laser tag.
Which was actually, that was a lot of fun. And I think for everyone, it was a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. But then after we finished the retreat.
So picture this, you've just been on 5 days, total silence. You know, you've kind of, no one else is interrupting. You're doing prayer periods. It's very low key. And then you come off. What's the first thing you want to do when you come off a silent retreat?
Just kind of ease back in. We were taken to the circus,
which was awesome.
And was hard for others.
It was a confirming grace for me.
It was a very hard day for me.
Yeah. There you go. That's awesome.
You loved it.
I loved the circus. Oh my gosh.
Have you always loved the circus, or this was like a surprise you loved the circus?
No, I think I've always loved the circus. I think the first circus I went to, I was very, very little, and I decided that I wouldn't mind joining the circus one day.
Okay, that's awesome.
And I've acquired some good circus acts myself, but
awesome.
It really was like the delight of the circus, like the excitement. I just didn't ever think I would do that again as a sister.
Ever.
Mm-hmm. And so the fact that after our first time going on a silent retreat, that is how it would end, was like, Jesus, you are the hundredfold.
That's awesome.
That's so awesome.
Meanwhile, Sister Anne,
I'm like, I still say yes.
I choose this with all my might. That's awesome.
And you know what's so funny too? Like, I have never done laser tag or gone to the circus as a sister ever. So I'm like, you guys really special, special week.
It's
amazing.
That's great.
But isn't it funny how like the pool I used to work at before I entered, on the wall it said, just to clarify, on the wall it said, one man's warm-up is another man's workout. I live by that.
It's very true.
Awesome. That's awesome.
It's true. You know, one thing that's a blessing to someone might be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like how some of us in this house really love spicy food.
Love spicy
like
food.
Like Sister Grace and I will literally, sometimes you like can't see the food. There's so much like spicy sauce on it. And some other sisters.
I have a very wimpy tongue.
Some other sisters are so beautifully sensitive that they get the spice just off the whiff of our plates. Yeah.
That's how it's much true. My food starts tasting like Tabasco just because I smell it.
And your love for vegetables amazes me.
Love vegetables.
It's fascinating.
Beets.
Oh my goodness.
Amazing.
Yeah.
It is so nice.
It would be so boring if we were all cookie cutters, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
It'd be so boring.
That's nice.
It's so much more fun this way.
It's true. It's what makes community exciting.
Yeah.
Among other things.
Yeah. Well, I guess that leads us to the gospel this week.
Yep.
You can figure out that way yourself. Sister Anne, how about we dive right in with a prayer?
Sounds great.
Cool.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Come, Holy Spirit, come through Mary. Father, we praise you, we bless you, we love you. We thank you, Father, that you loved us so much that you sent us your Son to be with us, to save us. Father, we ask that you send the Holy Spirit anew and afresh in our hearts. Open the eyes of our hearts, the ears of our hearts wide to receive more of your Son, Jesus. We pray for a great unity among us and a great fruitfulness in hearing your word. And we ask all of this in your name, Jesus, and through the intercession of Mary. Amen.
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 Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Sister Catherine Joy, would you like to read this week?
Mm-hmm. This is the gospel from the fourth Sunday of Lent. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world, not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him is not condemned. He who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does what is true comes to the light, that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been wrought in God.
Amen.
This is like the power pack gospel. Like this is, I think John 3:16, you know, for God so loved the world is like maybe I don't have the stats on this, but maybe the most quoted scripture passage ever.
It's like the gospel in a nutshell.
Yeah.
I think so. That's awesome. Yeah.
You see it on like posters at sports games and everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yes. I love that. I've just never thought of that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But you're right. It kind of summarizes the whole point of it. Why?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why did he do any of this? Why did he go in the desert? Why did he come down? Why?
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome.
And like, I love that it's been given to us this fourth week of Lent. Mm-hmm. We're deep in Lent. Mm-hmm. You know, we're maybe feeling the pinch.
Oh, yeah.
A lot.
Pinchy pinch. Yeah.
And the Lord's like, remember.
Yeah.
Remember my love. Like the whole point is my love, is communion with me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just sense the Father in this, just, yeah, like looking at each one of us and each one of you and just saying those exact words, like, I love you. Mm-hmm. I see you. I desire you. And I send Jesus for you to save you from whatever you're going through right now. Just, yeah, like a real word of love from the Father during this time of Lent, you know? So if there's any hint of discouragement or despair or frustration or feeling stuck or like it's not going how you thought it was going to be, that just the Father is saying today, I love you and I see you.
And it kind of, as you're saying that, I'm like, oh my gosh, it brings us back to, I mean, our first episode when we're like, why is Jesus doing this? He's driven by the spirit that is the love of the Father. Like this is the point of it all. For the sake of love, we're experiencing our limits for the sake of, that it's the point of it all. So yeah, thanks for saying that, sister. I felt that. Needed to hear that word today, actually.
Yeah. And it's neat. Like he starts, the whole passage starts out with this image of the Son of Man being lifted up, this foreshadowing of the cross.
Yes.
You know, this is the first time in reading that, that I always had thought of the cross, you know, Moses lifted up the serpent and it's a foreshadowing, it is, of the cross. But this time I also thought of the lifting up of the Eucharist and the Mass, that is the Son of Man being lifted up, you know, that he comes to bring healing, to bring eternal life, that he's lifted up every single day for us.
It's like your title, Sister Catherine Joy Marie of the Eucharistic Heart of Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, his heart's so good.
Freshly titled.
Yeah.
Within the first year.
Yeah. All these three sisters all profess final vows this August together.
So our titles are fresh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love his Eucharistic heart. His heart, you know, hidden in the womb of Mary, totally giving himself for love for us, dying on the cross, rising in glory. And in the Eucharist, that he makes himself like so dependent, so vulnerable, so small enough for us to approach. And like he's made a space for us. His heart like was wounded, like pierced, so that there's a way for us to come into his heart. But his wounds didn't stay there, like they're glorified. They're now a place of like this promise of love always being held out to us. So I love that Moses lifted up the serpent mm-hmm. for healing from the snakes that had bitten the people. And it says here in our gospel today that when Jesus makes the parallel, everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. Mm-hmm. That's like the fulfillment, that it's not just healing from wounds like on earth, but mm-hmm. it's a deeper healing of the heart so mm-hmm. that we can have the fullness of life and life eternal.
Mm. Wow.
That's awesome.
It is
so
awesome.
Beautiful. It's such a proclamation of where we're going at the end of Lent, which is the ultimate conquering of death, where we can finally enter into heaven. Mm-hmm. It's like, yeah, it gears our heart towards where we're going.
Yeah.
But it starts now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even to link it to this promise of like God loves the world so much. Like even I remember you were saying like that link of like this lifting up is a reminder of God's love for us, that mm-hmm. the cross is, yeah, that found that in the Eucharist, that the Eucharist says that in a particular way.
Yeah, totally. I mean, we were just hearing from a priest recently. I mm-hmm. love this, that in the Old Testament, the Jews would go up to Jerusalem 3 times a year. Mm. And each time they would go up, the Levites, the priests, you know, there would be sacrifices of animals, but there would also be the bread of the presence, mm. which were 12 loaves of bread that at some point during, you know, their celebrations, the priests would bring out and lift the bread up to the people and say, mm. Israel, behold the God who loves you.
Wow.
That's awesome.
It's so beautiful. It's so mass.
Catholic.
It's
awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's always been there.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Actually, I was talking to a girl who's Protestant who's coming into the church
yeah.
soon, and she was saying that was the clincher for her.
Really? Wow.
Once she read that in the Old Testament, she's like, oh my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah. Like, it's like the bridge.
Cool. Yeah. It's so awesome.
It's always been there.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's so great.
I do love that.
I thought of that in the Mass this morning when, you know, Jesus was lifted up in the Eucharist. I was like, wow, behold the God who loves you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Behold mm-hmm. the Lamb of God.
That's so awesome.
Wow. Come and on. Then at that moment is a reminder of that very truth here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That God gave everything out of love for us.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. And that he wants us to actually rest in that truth frequently, daily, every mm-hmm. Sunday, but every time we can to be reminded specifically of that central truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And to like literally eat that truth, consume mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. So that you might not perish, but have eternal life. Because yeah. the whole point is like life. He wants to give us life
mm-hmm.
and fullness more and more and more, you know, mm-hmm. it's really true.
Yeah. And I love this too, because the words lifted up just reminds me too, when I was praying with it, I was like, oh my goodness. It was funny that you said that, because I wasn't just thinking about the cross too. When I thought of lifted up, the times in Jesus' life where he was lifted up, yes, it was on the cross. And it made me think of, you know, we're in the smack middle of Lent right now. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of temptation to, you know, relax. Do you know, you know, we're kind of noticing how poor we're doing, or, you know, where it's tough, or yeah, where the rubber hits the road, and it's kind of a rough time of Lent. So it just reminded me of the same temptation, you know, when Jesus was on the cross, those that were there would say, you know, why don't you come down? If you really want to prove yourself as the Son of God, come down. Which in all honesty would have been a miracle. And it probably would have like done a lot for the people standing there. Like if Jesus literally came down from the cross, maybe a couple would have believed. But it's fascinating that, yeah, Jesus allows us to see that temptation, which can be a temptation we feel in Lent, like just give up, let go, like come down, don't be so hard on yourself. But that actually what's happening is the greater miracle of Jesus staying on the cross, of persevering through his suffering, of refusing to give up on the Father's love that will bring about in the Eucharist through this. And this greater miracle, like it would have been a miracle if Jesus came down from the cross, but Jesus stays in it. Believes in the Father's love. And instead, what do we see? This greater miracle that Jesus dies through this. And what happens? The Father lifts him up out of hell. Mm-hmm. He descends into every hell we experience, every darkness. He goes to the depths and beyond what we could have ever have asked for. And what does the Father then do on Resurrection Sunday that we'll see at Easter? He's lifted up from the graves. Mm-hmm. He's lifted up out of the darkness. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't just come back to earth. He lifts him up into heaven. Just that in all of our suffering, what a word of hope this is in the middle of Lent, that in every difficulty and dead end we might be experiencing, that the Father has a greater plan through it, even if it seems to end up in the worst way, that actually the greater miracle remains.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's powerful.
Yes. It's so cool.
Mm.
It reminds me of also from the Mass, when the priest invites us, like, lift up your hearts, and you lift them up to the Lord. Mm-hmm. That's this invitation to enter into this lifting up again that you were speaking of like this act of trust, this act of like union with him, that our hearts too can be lifted up.
Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's so cool. Mm-hmm. And it's very uniting too, like because you think like, so the Son of Man must be lifted up so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. So that everyone can see him and have eternal life. And it's like this I mean, it's like whenever you go to, I don't know, like a big event, like an arena or like,
yeah,
you know, it's like the, usually the performance is up mm-hmm. higher. So you can like mm-hmm. on a stage, so you can see, everyone can see. And so there's something about, or like even Jesus in the Gospels would like get on a boat so everyone could see him and he would be,
yeah.
There's something about actually lifting up that actually draws people together mm-hmm. and focusing on one goal.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Which is really cool. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, yeah, just the image of that, especially as we talk about the Spirit and communio. And it's like, that's even the definition of friendship, right? Like to be looking together.
Beautiful.
Sharing life yeah. together, looking at the same thing shoulder to shoulder and walking mm-hmm. to that
yeah.
to that goal. And I think, yeah, lifting up does that.
Mm-hmm. Like it unites our sights on the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Beautiful.
Because mm-hmm. ultimately, it's like Jesus wants to save us. Like, yes. I love the, I think it's the first, well, it's the first line of the catechism quoting something from St. Paul, where he says that the Lord desires that all men be saved and come to knowledge mm-hmm. of the truth. Mm-hmm. That's the heart of the Father. Like, that's yeah. what he wants. Yeah. And so this, yeah, this scripture is like just so imbued in that.
Mm.
Like, I want to save you. I want to yeah. come, I want to come into your personal hell. I want to lift you up.
That's awesome. It's kind of like the halftime moment of the game. Not that Lent's a game, but you know, it's like there's this pause. Like we're in the middle of like a real, yeah, a really challenging season. I know every Lent I've ever experienced is totally different. You know, it's you know, we have a communal experience of Lent, but also it's very personal. What happens, what doesn't happen. But it's like we're in that midway point. And the fact that the church provides such a word of hope and truth about the whole point of it kind of gives us this compass of like, look where we're going, the whole mm-hmm. point of it. Mm-hmm. Don't forget what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. 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 Don't forget who you are.
Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. the halftime like coach prep talk. You know? And you can go back out again because you know the reason of it all and where it's yeah. heading. Cool. Mm-hmm.
No, I love that. Yeah, I love sports. So I love the sports analogies. Yeah, it's beautiful. And I think something that was striking me with this proclamation of the good news was just, I'm struck that it says, you know, for God so loved the world. Because, yeah, when you think of the world, you see the evil and you see the suffering. And so our response can sometimes be judgment or criticism or a hopelessness or a despair. But the Father's response is always love. It's like he can see past the sin. He can see past all of the destruction and he sees the human heart. You know, he sees you. He sees any troubles that you're going through, any difficulties, and he loves you. He loves you deeply and he loves every person in this world absolutely uniquely and infinitely. And I just, yeah, it's like God sees beyond and into the vulnerability of every situation. And so he can look at the world and say, I do love the world mm-hmm. because I love every human heart that is there. And I love every person and everything that I have created. And I want to heal their sickness. I want to heal them from these places, these symptoms really that we're seeing on the mm-hmm. surface, which is a heart that it's a response of a heart that's sick and needs saving, which mm-hmm. is each one of us, really. And it made me think, actually, of a silly, silly time of my life. I was living in Manhattan. Actually, you and I were living together.
Cool.
We were novices. Right. Yeah. And one day, I can't remember yeah. why, but I was going to a separate mass somewhere. Mm-hmm. And it was actually St. Patrick's Day, which is like crazy in Manhattan. Mm-hmm. And I was walking to mass and I look up and these two giant leprechauns are approaching me, like two people dressed in leprechaun awesome. outfits, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like, first of all, I don't have time for this, I've got to get to mass, and yeah. I'm like, I don't know what they're going to say to me, and but they come up to me and they approach me and they take their masks off and they're Irish and they go, sister, we're looking for mass, we're looking for daily mass. And I was like, well, that's awesome. Was not what I was expecting. I'm like, I'm going to mass. So literally here you have like two leprechauns with American awesome. Flags in their hands and a nun walking through Manhattan together that's to mass.
Awesome. Welcome to New York.
Welcome yeah. to New York. It was a beautiful experience for me. You know, we went to the liturgy together and then afterwards we spoke a little bit and they were asking for prayers. And yeah, really just two beautiful women who are seeking the Lord and asking, you know, God to step into the reality. But it was a beautiful moment of like, you know, yeah, sometimes we judge things very quickly from the externals and from the surface when underneath is a heart that's seeking God, you know?
It's a great image.
And yeah, you just have to be willing to get mm-hmm. behind the layers of sometimes what's on the outside that can be confronting or confusing. And mm-hmm. But really at the end of the day, every human heart is searching for God, mm-hmm. even if, you know, on the outside, you can't quite see it, you know?
I'm just picturing you walk down.
It was a Fifth Avenue moment.
Two leprechauns. Well, sorry, one question. Did you sit with them at mass?
I didn't, but they literally went to mass with their outfits on.
Wow. That's awesome.
It was unique, but they didn't have the head on.
Come all. Everybody's yeah, welcome.
That's absolutely. Awesome. It was a great experience at the church.
I love it.
Well, it reminds me too of like, I mean, you know, a couple of times in our evangelization mission, we've headed down to St. Patrick's, specifically on Ash Wednesday to evangelize because there are lines down Fifth Avenue. Yeah. It's made like no other time of the year. It's fascinating. And it's particular to New York, but literally lines down Fifth Avenue of people lining up for ashes. So the last couple of years, we've kind of like, you know, just planted ourselves for a couple over the lunch hour and have incredible conversations. But most people that aren't practicing, but coming for ashes, which is fascinating. But it's, I think it's reflective of this same truth that at the end of the day, actually every human heart has been created with this crave for God. And something about Ash Wednesday and Lent opens up this possibility for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like an open door to like, maybe I need God. Maybe I need more. I don't know what it is, but it is fascinating what Lent allows. Mm-hmm. And it brings this truth back that maybe there is something deeply good and godly in me that I need to acknowledge.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful.
Mm.
Yeah.
And to be willing to see with the sight of the Spirit, you know, that it's not always what you think on the outside, but there's, to be able to see deeper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do love that, sister. And that's such a word of hope too, that just as you say it, that like, even when I see the mess and the shortcomings and things and like get distracted and Lent can be overwhelming about the doing and what I'm doing and what I'm not and what I'm failing and what I'm succeeding in. Mm-hmm. But just in the midst of it all, that the Father never forgets the view of us.
Yeah.
He always sees the good that he's given his Son for. It's just such a, not just an encouragement, but truth that literally sets your heart free as you hear it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's so powerful. And it's like, it brings light into darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'm just grateful for the truth of this statement. It convicts my heart, you know, that God sends his Son into the world. But actually, it says that the people preferred darkness to light because their works were evil. And everyone who does wicked things hates the light and doesn't come toward the light. And I guess, I mean, it's can feel like a tough word, but to me, it's beautiful. Like, Lord, where am I? Yeah, where am I afraid to come to the light? Where am I attached to sin? What are some things that I'm afraid to let go of? And why am I afraid to come in the light? Do I forget that the light is a person, you know, and that the light is Jesus, who is full of love and full of tenderness? It reminds me actually of a recent prayer period that I had, which is kind of funny. But, you know, I was kind of wrestling with something in my heart and just had received an image from the Lord of, you know, feeling kind of the enemy, you know, bothering me, and just had this image of like being in a dark room. And it was as if the enemy was sitting across from me, almost like interrogating me and accusing. And then Jesus walks in the room and he just flips the light on and everything's in the light. And it was like, oh, that wasn't so hard.
That's awesome.
And Jesus just had such a gentleness about him and such a love. And actually it was as if he knew exactly what to do in that moment. Like he began to like, you know, lift things that were in the way and just like a good gentleman was able to take care of me there. And yeah, it was just a good reminder of like, actually, when the Lord comes and brings the light, he's always there too. You know, like it's not an exposition, it's not an accusation. It's a person who loves you and really just wants to bring freedom.
Mm-hmm. I love that too, because it's like, why would God light things up? Like in anything, like almost like when we become aware of things or like places where he hasn't been, like the light comes to love places that are in need more of that, like to not be afraid of these things, because that's what the light does. It's like, there's just more room now here to be loved.
I love that.
Jesus, come flip my switch. I like that, honestly. But it's such a good instigator for prayer of like when I'm in a dark or scary place, I love that. It's like Jesus, as opposed to just freaking out. Yeah, Jesus, light the switch. Bring your light. Bring your light right here. Turn it on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was reflecting that, this whole passage actually is taking place in darkness. Like if you read before this part of the scripture that we're given this Sunday, you know, Nicodemus is coming to Jesus in the dark because he's afraid that other people will see that he wants to talk to Jesus. And so actually this entire, everything we've read is taking place in darkness. And there's something about like, it's only possible to, for them to speak in darkness because he is the light and he desires to meet us in the places of darkness where we're feeling ashamed or feeling afraid or judgment of others, that Jesus comes and he's not afraid of meeting us there. And he wants to be with us there in the midst of it.
That's so awesome.
Yeah. And I mean, Jesus could have just said, Nicodemus, like, I'm going to go hit the hay, like, come back tomorrow morning. Like, I don't think there's any other time in scripture where it records a conversation that happened at night.
That's a powerful system.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Actually, you're right. Other than like the agony in the garden, but that was just kind of more, But this is like a whole long conversation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And Nicodemus, is like actually like sharing his heart, asking deep questions. And and Jesus is meeting him there every point.
And we have one of the most what did you say? Oh, like well-used scripture lines, because Nicodemus was brave enough to talk to Jesus in the dark.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
That's so cool.
Yeah. Thanks be to God he did. That makes me more encouraged in my own darkness. That's awesome to not be afraid to engage the Lord. And what powerful words we have here. Mm-hmm. What revelation of Jesus because of a conversation that took place at night.
Yeah. That we don't have to feel like, okay, I have to be in the light or get to the light or wait till I'm, till I feel like I'm ready. It's like, no, just like as soon as I notice the darkness and desire him there, to actually jump on it immediately.
Yeah. Flip that switch. Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, sister, I love that. Oh my gosh. Flip the switch. Well, it's beautiful because I mean, when I was praying with this too, I was so moved by it's fascinating how frequently this line, believe in him, believe in him, believe him, literally is four times in this passage. And actually, just recently, I was praying a lot with the Gospel of John, and all throughout it, this was one of the things that stood out to me much, how much John just overuses, believe in me, believe in him. It's stunning. It's like this simplicity of this is the backdoor entrance to Jesus. It's the one-step program. In every situation, even every different difficult arguments between the Pharisees, any kind of wall that comes up, constantly John's quoting Jesus, just believe in me, believe in me, believe in me. And I was so moved by that, and the simplicity of actually all God is asking sometimes is just to believe in Jesus in this place, in this moment, this problem, this hope, just believe in Jesus. It's not that complicated. Mm. Yeah. And in this, we see God is asking for commitment without conditions. He's asking us to believe in a person without being caught up too much on how exactly he's going to answer us. And it reminds me, I was thinking of my own childhood at this point, but I remember especially Christmas. I know we're not in Advent or Christmas time, but sometimes it's helpful to think about Christmas in Lent, let's be honest. But I remember when hopefully I was very young at this age, but I remember one Christmas was coming up and I was just so looking forward to that Lego set. I remember thinking, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't wait. Christmas morning, I could I was just envisioning, I was dreaming about it. It was like when that Lego set, because every Christmas it was for some reason, Santa, or aka mom and dad, would always get the exact present that I wanted, So I begin to look forward to the one thing that I wanted. So I remember this one Christmas, I must have been so young, but it was this Lego set. And I remember getting there on Christmas morning and I open one present and it's not the Lego, and I get to the next present and not Lego. And I'm going and I'm like, there's no Lego set. And I was so cranky. Talk about moody. I was a moody child, but I was so upset that my parents did not know and did not deliver exactly what I wanted. Anyway, it just makes me laugh. I think Jesus is reminding me of this because I think sometimes I can treat Jesus like that. Mm. I can ask for things, believe in him, but with this expectation that he's going to meet the terms and conditions that I give him, and that if those terms and conditions, if it doesn't look like exactly what I'm asking for, then he doesn't hear me, or he's not answering me, or he's not listening. And I think we can so easily do that, ask for things, believe in Jesus, but we're really believing in an answer that we're prescribed for him when God wants to do so much more. Mm. It's like we go through Lent expecting results and God wants a relationship. Mm. He's like, I'm focused on you. Wow. I want to know you more. And I want you to come to me and let me deal with the answers. Yep. Mm-hmm. Almost like this new invitation to believe in Jesus. And believe in Jesus.
Sometimes it's like we can settle for we want a lamp. Or a flashlight. And he's like, actually, I want to give you the sun,
It's just a good word. Yeah.
That reminds me of, because I think it's so powerful, speaking of light and faith. And
I thought you were going to say, speaking of Legos.
I but love light Legos. It makes me think of the golden mole.
Who is he? She. Who's the golden mole? Go on, please.
Sorry, there are more than one. It's a kind of mole.
Okay.
Although I think somehow it's not really a mole. Anyway, I'm confusing people, but it's a small mole-like animal. Mm-hmm. It's about 3 inches long, and he's golden, and he buries in the sand in the desert. And, moles are underground most of their time. So the golden moles have no eyes.
Oh.
No eyes.
Oh, my.
Because they're underground dwellers, so there's no light, they can't see anything. Wow. My sister Teresa got me really into the golden mole. She wants one, but you can't really get one because they only sell them on the black market.
We would never do that.
Never.
Not into that.
Anyway, golden moles. But it was it's so interesting because actually light forms or helps form eyes, helps form the ability to see. We need light in order to actually see. So it's the light of faith. I need his light that I may see, you know? And faith helps us basically receive his light and make acts of faith in his light. Yeah. You know, faith gives us eyes in a sense. And I just think it's so beautiful. Like, yeah, to like, if there's any ways that we've let ourselves be formed by darkness, you know, or where darkness has stolen our vision, stolen our ability to see. And it's like every act of faith we make, Jesus, I believe in you, even in the midst of my darkness, every act of faith brings light. Cool. Every act of faith begins to reform us in his image, right? So that we can meet his gaze, you know?
Yeah.
And I was thinking about this. It's not a total connection, but kind of. But one of our sisters, and she freely shared her testimony actually about this, but she had very, very bad vision. So she had a condition, kind of a more rare vision condition. And even with glasses, her vision was like not good. Like, I don't know what direction the 20/20 goes, but it was like 25 or like 20/50. I don't know what direction it goes. But anyway, not 20/20 and really, really hard time seeing other things. And she found, she's doing a little research one day, and she found that there's like this treatment you can go to actually correct this vision situation. And so she goes, and what the treatment was is literally looking into a certain kind of light for like 20 minutes every week or something like that, but just like this special kind of light. And so she did this for like X amount of weeks. And she is completely healed.
Wow.
That's amazing.
I mean, she still wears glasses, but now her glasses are like, they give her 20/20 vision. Whereas before, her glasses did not give her 20/20 vision. They couldn't.
Awesome.
So now literally, like, her eyes are healed.
That's awesome.
Eye light. Wow, isn't that amazing?
It's so cool.
It's such a great spiritual analogy.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, we are healed by the light.
Yeah.
And it's so essential too. I was thinking of like light for communion. Like light is, in many ways, is necessary for communion. Like we can't meet each other's gaze in pitch black, you know, like you need some kind of light to be able to see the eyes of another,
yes.
to read the expressions. And
yes.
It's so important.
Sorry, I'm just thinking about our earlier conversation. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's true.
I know it's true. It's true.
I'm sorry. We have received the gift of laughter. We're just trying to tame it.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my
no, it is powerful.
Mm-hmm. How I much, know, oh, please, time?
I know you had a word about light.
I just kept thinking of Psalm 17.
Yeah.
And in the psalm, it's someone crying out to God, but I really heard it in the voice of Jesus. Mm. It's, you search my heart, you visit me by night, you test me and you find in me no wrong. Mm. Yeah. And this visit of Nicodemus by night, because he's searching for the heart of Jesus, but he's searching for that communion.
Mm.
And, you know, the next time, we see Nicodemus, it's after the crucifixion.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes in the day. And he comes to ask for the body of Jesus.
Wow.
And it's like that Jesus met him there in the dark, but not to stay, like keep that relationship in the dark.
Mm.
Yeah, that Nicodemus would come to the light. Because we need awesome. It. We need light for communion.
Yeah.
It's so awesome.
Mm. Wow. It's an awesome, it's a visible transformation.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
That's beautiful.
Well, it reminds me of the Easter Vigil, like what we're moving towards. Yeah. It's like the whole, like this passage is like incarnated in that mass. Or that true one, because it's like you literally come from darkness, and we know in the convent or in other places too, they have like the tenebrae, which means darkness, and there's like chanting psalms in the darkness, and a lot of the liturgy of Holy Thursday and Good Friday are in the darkness. And then what happens on the Easter Vigil night?
Mm-hmm.
It's like the bonfire is lit and the light of Christ is lit, and it's like he's coming. He's come into the darkness. Mm-hmm. And just by his presence, the darkness flees.
Mm-hmm.
It's so awesome.
It's awesome. Sorry. Yeah. It's just reminding me, we had a retreat recently and we had three young women that it was their birthday. So it was like on the Sunday. So like we had to celebrate.
It would be like life. This is our shining moment.
It would have been horrible if we didn't acknowledge, sing and make cakes for them. But we had this dilemma. I think you slipped out at this
point. I think system, I did. I heard.
You heard the laughter?
Yeah,
maybe. So we have this whole pack group of like, 60 women just come off retreats. Everybody's, a lot louder than normal because it was a silent retreat. And we asked these three women to stand up, but we had this problem. The five sisters of us, we couldn't find matches anywhere.
We were candles.
Like, oh my gosh, they can't have a birthday party without candles. So we were like struggling what to do. Then we found like three, what do you call them?
Like I don't want to say lighters.
Yeah.
Like little lighters. Like mini lighters, but they're like pretty decent. Like
for a barbecue.
Exactly. So like that'll do. So we literally walk out with these little muffins and then three sisters, because it was three women, go towards these women with like this gas inflamed lighter and right on their faces, click it and this
awesome flame comes.
Blue flame.
Anyway, their birthdays were saved, but literally without the light, it wouldn't have been a birthday.
No, definitely not.
We improvised, but it was a lot of fun.
That's so funny.
Yeah. I mean, listen, why do we blow out a candle on a birthday? Uh-huh. You know, what it says about life and the goodness of that. And it makes me think even too, when we sing to Our Lady each night and we walk through our halls, like we turn all the lights off and the power of one flame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It literally dispels the darkness. It's fascinating. Mm-hmm. So like you turn all the lights on, like one flame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're able to chant the Litany of the Reto on Saturdays by the light of that one flame. Like you can actually see the words.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's
one
awesome.
One little tiny flame.
Mm-hmm. Wow, sisters. Well, any challenges for the week?
I have a challenge.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Two challenges, actually. One is just surely a challenge of interest. I just want to challenge you to look up a picture of the golden mole. He's so cute. Second challenge.
That's awesome. I think I'm going to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to see what this eyeless mole looks like.
He's so amazing. Cute. It's fascinating. You really want one. Like, you want to just put one in your pocket.
So nice.
My second challenge is just, the power of making acts of faith and that literally, like, bringing light into our darkness. So, yeah, just encourage myself, all of us to, this week, just every day, at least once a day, just to make an act of faith in the dwelling of the Trinity within us. Like, Holy Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, I believe you are within me. I believe that you love me. I believe that you are working for my life and love and joy. I believe in you. Something like that. Mm. And just that act of faith actually can set a bonfire in our lives.
Awesome. Mm. That's so great. Mm. Yeah, I love that. You know, what's coming to me is, again, it's very simple, but I would invite you maybe this week to just spend one time of prayer or silence, you know, pick how long it is, just sitting before the Father and just hear those words, for God so loved the world, for God so loved me, for God so loves me, and just allow the truth of the Father's love for you, his particular personal love for you, just sink deeper and just receive it again anew this week.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I want to do that. Yeah, I think a challenge would be the next Mass you attend, maybe it's daily Mass this week or next Sunday, but to actually really pay attention to when the priest invites us to lift up our hearts and to bring to Jesus everything that might be dark in us, to have him lift up with him, in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. Yeah, sometimes it's easy at that point. You know, we've just been sitting, standing to let that, at least for me, I sometimes like, oh, where'd that part of the Mass go? Yeah, but just a challenge actually like to listen to it and respond to it like full-heartedly.
Beautiful.
Love that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool.
And I want to accept all these challenges. Gosh, I think, you know, just Lent being such a temptation to rely on ourselves and our own efforts, speaking on a personal experience too, just feeling really prompted with a possible challenge of like, what if every time we experience our limit this week, let it be an occasion to call on the Spirit, you know, as opposed to like trying to be easily discouraged, kind of just like, a new reckless abandonment of self-reliance. And whenever you experience any form of limit, just to respond with the calling out of the Spirit, come Holy Spirit, come into this place, which when he comes, he brings light, you know, just to call that light in, sit in the room and ask for the switch to go on, you know, any experience of limit, do not be afraid. And just to respond with the calling on the Holy Spirit.
That's awesome.
Beautiful.
Cool.
Cool. Wow. What do you think, Sister Veritas? Do you want to close us in a prayer?
I would be honored.
Please.
Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, we praise you. We bless you. We thank you. Thank you for this time. I thank you for coming for us, coming to save us, to set us free. Thank you for allowing yourself to be lifted up on the cross that we might behold you, that we might be healed. Lord Jesus, we ask that you just pour a torrent of your light into our hearts. Lord, give us the courage to come to you, even in our darkness, even in places that we feel ashamed or afraid, to turn to you, to call your name, to ask for your help. Lord, we know that you are light, and that when you come to us, coming to us at every moment, that you bring your light, you cast away the darkness. Jesus, we surrender our hearts to you, any places we have darkness to you, to your light. We ask that you powerfully be with us, especially in this week of Lent. We lift up to you any needs and intentions of our hearts, especially anyone who is sick or suffering in our families or friends. Pray for healing for them, for peace. We We ask all this in your name, Jesus, through the powerful intercession of Our Lady. As we pray, Hail Mary.
Full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Our Lady of Guadalupe, Mother of Light,
pray for us.
The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
It's like you've always been here, Sister Captain Joy.
I know, it's so nice.
Thanks for joining.
And you're coming again next time.
Really soon.
Look forward to being down here in the upper room again.
Yeah, I know. It's so cool down here.
Well, God bless you all. Have a great week.
Yeah. God bless.
Bye.
This was Let Love Podcast with the Sisters of Life, a religious community of women consecrated for the protection of the sacredness of human life. Be assured of our prayers and learn more at sistersoflife.org.